Well, good morning. My name is Cor. I'm on the pastoral staff here at Hope. Love to meet you if I haven't met you. I tend to be up front after we get done with service, and so that is a bona fide offer. If I don't know you, I'd love to meet you. Another public service announcement as we get started here. You can find the sermon slides on the Hope app. If you don't have the Hope app, Hope CC, you can find that in the whatever store you're going to find your apps, and then just click downtown and message slides, and you'll be able to have a relatively clear understanding of when I'm going to be done talking based on those slides. So you can check that out. Whether you're here or you are at home taking these messages in. So this morning, I want to start out with a phrase that has become popular expression. I can't unsee that, right? Just something comes before you and it causes you to say, I can never not see that. I have taken something in, and because it's intrigued me or repulsed me, or because it's like, how after seeing that logo, that expression so many times, have I missed it? That part of it. And for me, that was the FedEx sign. Like, I, you know, how many times has this truck pulled up in front of my house, and for whatever reason, I've just never seen the arrow. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of a cool design feature. And now that I've seen it, I'll never unsee it, if I could use that expression. Traveling to my aunt and uncle's house, I always went by the 7-Eleven. Never noticed that the N was lowercase. Like, well, how did I not notice that? Or for how many times I played Super Mario Brothers, that the clouds and the shrubs are the same graphic, right? The same, just different colors. It's like, how have I never, I'll never not see that now. It's always going to be a reminder. For how many times I've thrown away trash. I've just thought the guy, the little symbol on the, was a guy throwing away trash. This guy asked the question, like, is it a guy throwing away trash or somebody who gave up on juggling? And it's like, oh yeah, that's good. I'm always gonna think that now when I throw away some trash. It's kind of hard to see there. I hang up my shower towel on a hook. Always saw a hook. It's a hook that I put my towel on. Now I will forever see it as a drunk octopus who wants to fight. Like, can you kind of see that, right? Just kind of like, put up your dukes. Oh man. The Vans logo will forever now be the square root of answer, right? Some of you are like, yeah, I see. I think that, right? Just, I don't think the Vans logo designer was like, you know what? I really like maths. How can I work that in here? The Chicago Bears logo, huge football fan. Never noticed that the Chicago Bears logo was asymmetrical. Do you see that? How the bottom juts out just a little bit more. Why? That's just gonna bug me now. I'm bugged by a lot of things with the Packers and Bears, but now this is just one more thing to not like your team. Like, why did you do that? Graphic designers, come talk to me afterwards. I need some time. I need to understand this better. But then this might be the foremost one that I found this week. Face swap, Adam Driver and Keanu Reeves, and you just feel confused and slightly lost. It's just like, wait, which one's Keanu? I don't know. Hold on. Give me some time. And then you just like kind of lose it, right? Like, I can't unsee that. But then when I was looking at this, I found another one that Adam Driver looks like someone tried to draw Keanu from memory. It's like, oh. I feel so bad. It's funny, but I feel so bad. Sorry, Adam Driver. Why do I bring these up? Because I actually, as we come to Ephesians today, I actually want you to have that expression, like, I can't unsee that. Like, I've encountered God, I've seen God, and I don't want to unsee that. And for some of you, you come here like hungry to be transformed. You want to grow, you want to change. That there's something happening in your life where you're like, I can't stay the same. And many times we incorrectly say, okay, well, these are the things that I'm going to do. And I think as we got together as a preaching team this past Monday, as we studied the passage, one of the takeaways was the best way to grow, the best way to be transformed, get a big view of God. See God. The scriptures often call us to behold God. We don't use that verb very often in our vernacular, like behold something or behold someone. Scripture would call us to behold God. Take in God. See God. Don't unsee these things. And in Ephesians 1 just starts off with this giant view of who God is. So we are in the book of Ephesians. This is a letter written by the Apostle Paul to a people in Ephesus. So it's just a guy, a leader, who wrote to a group of people in a city that they might circulate these words and better understand who God is and be caught up into worship of him. In this particular case, it is a group of people that need to be reminded that they are in Christ. If you remember from last week, Pastor Steve did a great job talking about our okayness being in Jesus. You know, 11 or 12 times in this passage, last night I was reminded that 160 times throughout the New Testament, this expression, this little expression, so simple yet so profound, in Christ, being in Jesus is vital. It's critical to who we are as a people. And if you're not in Christ, you can become in Christ through trust, through belief, through expressing, God, I believe in you, I trust you. I trust that that sacrifice on the cross is historical. It was one time 2,000 years ago, and yet it has meaning, ripple effect throughout the last two millennia into present day. See that. Believe in that. Understand that. Don't unsee it. Though, some of you might want to unsee the picture that Steve utilized last week, the bratwurst of our okayness. I blurred it out for you this morning. I wanted to remind you of our okayness. Friends, probably in 2,000 years of church history, the bratwurst of okayness has never been uttered by a pastor or preacher until last week. And it might not be uttered for another 2,000 years. I mean, you can't coach that. You wouldn't coach that, but you can't coach that. That is the uniqueness, the blessing of Pastor Steve in our midst. All right, so hope that is a little bit of a background. That brings us to verses 3 to 14 of chapter 1. We've been there. We were there last week. We're going to be here this week. And for one more week, there's just so much richness in this passage. So let me take us to verse 3 here. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So as we get started, if you remember from last week, Steve kind of grammar said, this is just one long run-on sentence. And it's even more profound, dumbfounding, you might say, because there's no verb. The verb is implied. If we were to take this literally, we could just start out this passage by saying, praiseworthy God, or blessed God, or, you know, sometimes the verb being implied, you put it in there. So this might be translated in your Bible as blessed be God, or blessed be God, or praise be to God. But honestly, it's just the blessed God. Who are we looking at today? Who do I want you to see? The blessed God, the praiseworthy God. That's who we get to deal with. And absolutely, this is to come against what was happening culturally. Do you remember that from week one? They would shout, great is God? No, great is Artemis, right? Great is this idol. Great is this small g God in our midst. If you remember from Acts 19, when they heard this, which was some of the preaching of Jesus, they were furious and began shouting, great is Artemis of the Ephesians. But when they realized he was a Jew, in this case, Paul, right, as he preached, they all shouted in unison for about 2 hours, great is Artemis of the Ephesians. Remember that? That's what's going on culturally in this area. And it's almost as though Paul can hear those chants, can hear that shouting. And he says, I'm going to come over the top of this. Great is our God. Great is our God. See, behold, hear from our God, because our God is greater, better than Artemis and then any other God. And how I believe Paul does this is by putting God center stage. In these verses, it is undeniable. The point of this passage is not you and me. It's not the people of Ephesus. It is God. And I think we see this by just looking at the subject, the main subject, the main character being God. And then what does God do? That's what I want to do in our time, is look at 10 ways where we see God as the subject. God is the principal actor. We're all bit characters in this grand theater, right? Who's the star? God. And it's undeniable as we read through this passage. He is the one that is center stage, and he is the one that acts. He does. He verbs. And that's what I want to look at. This is not preaching parlor tricks. I'm not throwing a bunch of fancy Greek or, oh, you got to know. It's like, just read the text. And it's beautiful and it's compelling. That's what I want you to see. And as you walk away, that you don't ever unsee that in scriptures, that God is the hero, center stage, principal actor. It's not as though there aren't plenty of other people that come in and out of the theater, get to dance on the stage for a little bit, but no one is great like our God. So what I wanna do now, it's gonna be very obvious. I'm gonna underline the part of God's action, all right? So this is what we're gonna do. We're gonna observe the text. We're gonna let the text do the work here this morning. See it, behold how great our God is. First one here. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. So it's probably not surprising, right, that the blessed God would bless, but I just wanna make that clear. The God who is blessed, the praiseworthy God, part of his character when he acts is to then turn and bless others. God, when he works, he blesses. And he has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. See it. Don't seek to unsee that. How great is God? Number two, the blessed God selected. It says in verse 4, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. And I grabbed on to the adjective here in the title of selected because it's a little bit different than how he uses in our English translations here and later in the passage. They grab onto the same English word often of chose. Here, much more of this idea of selected, a little bit more keen and wise, just like I'm selecting out of. The blessed God selected. Number three here, it says, in love he predestined us for adoption to sonship. And Pastor Steve talked about that idea of sonship, that you are an heir with all of the rights and responsibilities. In love he predestined. The blessed God predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. So he has blessed, he has chosen, he has predestined, right? We want to see this. This is who God is. This is what God does as the hero of the story, as the star. And then kind of continuing through the end of this slide here, it says, these things are to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. Greek word there, charismata, grace. Grace. He has graced us. He has given grace, showered grace, blessed us with his grace. Just four ways. Four ways of seeing God, being blessed by God. Scripture says that if we want to grow, if we want to be transformed, see him. Because as we see him as he truly is, we can't help but be changed. So take this in, behold how great our God. Want to keep going. Flip the page here to verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. One of our coworkers, Olivia Disselkamp, just talked about the lavishness, like how much God has, the riches of his goodness and grace that he just pours out. Like you can't be unmoved by that hope that God in all his goodness, glory, grandeur, and he shares and he pours out, lavishing what? Redemption, forgiveness. The blessed God lavishes, shares his abundance. What a beautiful picture of who God is. Continues on, with all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure. God revealed, God reveals, God makes known, makes clear, makes available and accessible to us his great work, chiefly through the cross, right? In scripture, it says, no one's ever seen God, but God, the one and only, the Son of God, has made him known through his incarnation, coming to earth, but shows the full extent of God's love by going to the cross and dying. So God makes known who he is to us. See that. Take it in, bask in it, behold him, continues, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment that God set forth, God makes plain, God brings about. He purposed these things. A couple more for you, and then we're gonna kind of unpack. What does this mean? What difference does this make for us? It says, these things happen in order that he might bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. So the blessed God is one who doesn't seek to bring division, but bring unity. Unity to all things in heaven and on earth. And we know this will culminate one day with everything in its rightful order and its rightful place. Two more here as we finish out the passage. In him we were also, and here's the chosen. And in this case, the word, it's a different word here, but just simply means favored. It's another way of saying you are blessed by the blessed God, right? Having been predestined, same word there as used previously. But in him, we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. Great expression, used multiple times. These things happen that we might be for the praise of his glory. Going to come back to that next week. Because God is the subject, right? He's the one who's acting. And so there are direct objects and indirect objects. Where are my grammar people, right? Like, we'll get to that, right? If I'm going to throw a football, right? Somebody right there, I think, understands, oh, well, maybe I need to catch it. That's next week. We're going to talk about kind of the recipients of God's action, us, next week. And what does it mean that we exist for the praise of his glory? But this week, again, God favored, the blessed God favored. And then finally, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked. You were marked in him with a seal. Some of your translations might just say, you're sealed, right? Which is to say, it can't be undone. You're sealed, you're protected, right? The promised Holy Spirit, who is the deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Simple text, put it in front of the people, right? God, do your work. God as actor, God as star, God as hero. He is the one. Ultimately, Christianity is not about being a good person. It's not about coming to church. It's not about doing these things, avoiding these other things, though maybe that's what you've heard. And every day we probably struggle with that, to not make it that. But Christianity ultimately is God has done something that we cannot do in order that we might behold him, receive that, believe that, and have our lives changed. So, having walked through that, seeing 10 different actions of this blessed God, what do we do with that? Kind of, here's those 10 again, right? And I think we have that figurehead, that title there, that banner over everything, which is God is praiseworthy. Blessed be God. Blessed is God. Now, I think where we rightly take this, where we rightly situate ourselves with this text is we sit underneath it. So visually, we're gonna make this actually something where God is worthy to be praised, right? On account of him expressing himself in these 10 different ways in our world, in sometimes visible ways or invisible ways, God does these things. And then we underneath, look up. We kind of take our eyes off the horse and we just say, God, there's no one like you, right? The cross is what? It's lifted up that we might look and experience life. Our God is exalted. He lives in a high and holy place, scripture says. So we rightly position ourselves underneath this text, underneath these truths that it depicts. So where does this go astray? Where do we fail to see this rightly? As I think we subtly or not so subtly put ourselves over the text. And we talked about this in our Monday morning time. The ways by which we come over the top. I got four things for us to consider. And I'm not asking you to have conviction about all four. I'm just asking, will you open up your heart this morning and just say, Jesus, is that me? Rather than sit underneath this text, which is plain, there's a principal actor. There's a main character. He's the hero. He's the star. He does the great work of Christianity, not us, right? But are there times where subtly or not so subtly, we kind of turn the tables? We put ourselves as first. Let me give you some examples. Ask you to consider these things. Number one, in this example, is it possible that in sitting in that position, you observe your circumstances, you observe your workplaces, your relationships, and if God acts in ways that you deem praiseworthy, then you'll praise him. Kind of an if-then approach to God. God, if you're blessing, if you're lavishing, if you're setting forth, if you're sealing, if your favor looks like these things, then I find you worthy to be praised. Because I've decided that you have acted in keeping with what I wanted, right? I make it that plain, right? Because we wouldn't say those things out loud, but this can seep into our hearts and our minds. God, I deem you worthy to be praised, therefore I will praise you. Rather than just an acknowledgement outright, God, you are worthy of praise. That's where Paul starts this letter. It's not, hey, how's your life going? If your life's going well enough, then maybe you should think about praising God. No, it's great is our God, right? In the same way they would have said, great is Artemis. Great is, Paul's like, no. Great is our God. See God, behold God. Don't wait and be the arbiter. Don't wait and say, I'm gonna be the judge of whether this God is actually up to snuff, whether he's actually worthy of, whether he acts in keeping with my understandings of what a praiseworthy God should do, right? I think it can work its way into our hearts. I know this was one that I struggled with early in my Christian life. It doesn't mean all my questions have been answered, but I recognize this as a reality, and perhaps it might be a reality in your life. God, you are worthy to be praised if I might make a couple adjustments. And a couple adjustments, I'm just gonna remove a couple of these actions because they're difficult. And so I'm gonna take away selected, predestined, and favored. Some of you are already thinking just like, oh, those are difficult words, difficult actions, difficult for me to wrap my mind around. And so I'm good with this list. Well, I'm good with 7 out of 10 of these, right? And it's another way by which I think we put ourselves over the text or we suspend judgment until we can really figure out what do those mean? What do they not mean? Friends, it's difficult. I've held different views, different positions of what does that mean? What does it not mean? I can remember struggling in my Christian life early on, or just, I gotta figure this out. It's gotta make sense to me. And when it makes sense to me, then I will worship the Lord. What have I made? I've made a God of my own choosing, right? That's what I've done here. I've effectively, not with words, but effectively based on this, where I cross out certain parts of who God's revealed himself to be, I've made a God of my own choosing. I've made my own Artemis. Great is my God. Great is my God, right? Has that happened to you? God can't be that. Even though scripture clearly says he is that. Third one. A third way by which I think we sit in judgment over this passage. Corey, you haven't even made clear who the direct and indirect objects are. I wanna know who God's blessing and favoring and selecting and gracing. And most of the time, we fill in the blank with some variation of ourselves. Me, my family, my friends, my business, my money, my political party, my nation. I'm good, God. I will behold you if you're blessing the right people and coming against the wrong people. the ways that we cloister and we form tribes. And we're good as long as that tribe, that people, that family, or those things, my house, my money, my cars, are the ones receiving the blessing. Prosperity gospel stuff. If God's blessing me, oh, praise him. Should God decide to take away, then I'm not going to praise him. One more daily struggle, maybe just for me. Old pastor thing. I'm preaching this first to myself. No, really. we often say that because it's true. Like, God, sometimes I remove you. And I want to be the one worthy of praise. We want to be the worthy of praise. We want to be the one who's the principal actor, center stage, receiving the spotlight, receiving the applause, right? Subtly, throughout our day, through decisions, in relationships, in conversations, fishing for that compliment, wanting the attention and the praise. Friends, see this. See this. That's what Paul, the Apostle Paul, inspired of the Holy Spirit, wants us to see in here. First and foremost, there is a principal actor. There is a star and a hero in the story. It's just not us. And guess what? That is good news. In a world which would say that's very, very bad news, our culture is going to tell you, get center stage, become center stage. You will with our product. You will with our clothes and our car. You will get to be the star of the show. Get there. And the gospel says, be free of that. It's an unending, unwinnable race. Don't run that race. Step out and off the track. Take this in. Lift up God. Behold him. See him. Be changed on account of what God has done. Now, I don't want to just gloss over the fact that the ways of God matter. They're weighty. They're difficult. So what do you do? If you come to a passage like chapter 1, and maybe that sends you down the rabbit hole, trying to understand God's foreknowledge, how he works in the world, how, when it says, before the creation of the world, he did a bunch of stuff, like, and you really struggle. What do I do with that? How do I understand those things? I can't answer every question, but I can remind you, via Jackie Hill Perry, of some pretty significant truths. Again, it doesn't answer every question, but hopefully it puts you in a place where you can be at peace, a little bit of contentment as you continue to get to know God, who he is and what he does. Jackie Hill Perry, her most recent book, Holier Than Thou, has just kind of this short, logical, just play it out. Play it out and see if this might help you. She says, if God is holy, then he can't sin. If God can't sin, then he can't sin against me. And if he can't sin against me, shouldn't that make him the most trustworthy being there is? Shouldn't that mean that he is the most praiseworthy being there is? I think the answer is yes, right? If he's holy, he can't sin. If he can't sin against me or against my family member or against you name it. Well then, amidst your questions, amidst some of your struggles to get to know him better, isn't he still the most trustworthy being there is? The most praiseworthy being? Great, great is our God. Worthy of our trust, hope, worthy of our praise. There's no one like him. Everybody else we listen to, everybody else we could seek to be informed by, everybody else that we would look to for leadership, including me. If you're looking to me for leadership, right? I'm not God. Look to him as the principal actor, as the star of the show, who could never, will never sin against you. He's worthy of your praise. He's worthy of your trust. So with that, do you see God as he is this morning? Or more for who you want him to be? Who you've made him out to be. as long as you can suspend judgment or sit in judgment over him and his actions, as long as you can remove some of these parts of scripture that are difficult. Do you see him as he is? That's your best hope for growth, best hope for transformation, best hope to experience life change. See him as he is. Behold our God. And secondly, do you believe God and all who he is trustworthy and praiseworthy? Even those parts that are difficult, even those parts that are confusing, even those circumstances in your life are dumbfounding. God, I don't get it. I don't understand it. But do you still, in the midst of that, see him as trustworthy, as praiseworthy? I want to reread these verses and just read them as though God were saying these words directly to you. I'm going to speak in the first person as though God were speaking through me. I want you to hear from him. And maybe for some of you, it'll help to close your eyes. Consider this. Praise my name. Again, God speaking. Praise my name, for I am worthy. I am blessed. I am the God and Father of your Lord Jesus Christ, and I have blessed you. I have blessed you in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing possible. I have chosen you in my Son before the creation of the world. Before the creation of the world, I chose you to be holy and blameless in my sight. In love, with all the love that I have predestined you for adoption through Jesus to be my legal heirs. In accordance with my infinite understanding, pleasure, and will. In my Son, you now have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of all my grace that I have lavished on you. I have not regretted. I have given you everything. With all my wisdom and understanding, I have made known to you the mystery of my will, which I brought forth in Jesus, to bring unity to everything in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him you were also chosen, having been predestined according to my plan, working out everything in conformity with the purpose of my will, in order that you, who were the first to put your hope in Christ, might be for the praise of my glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, I marked you with a seal, my promised Holy Spirit. He is a deposit within you, guaranteeing your inheritance until the redemption of those who are my possession, to the praise of my glory. Amen. Friends, I pray that you cannot unsee these things. That when you come to the scripture, you will see God again and again and again as the hero of the story. That's my hope. That's my prayer. I want to invite the worship team forward. I'm going to pray for us that we behold God. I don't know how many things are on your to-do list this week. I was looking at mine before preaching. Why did I do that? Why did I look at my to-do list for the week before preaching? I got a lot of things. My guess is you have a lot of things. And I want to make priority number one, see God. Behold God. How great is our God. Let's pray together. Jesus, right now, we worship you. We praise you. We want to withhold and keep back this flesh that says, I will sit in judgment of God. I, in the city of Minneapolis, late January 2022, sit in judgment over God Almighty. And yet, God, that's a struggle that I have. That's a struggle that we have to make ourselves the star, to make ourselves the one who know it all, what you should or should not be doing. Holy Spirit, bring conviction where it's needed. Jesus, bring grace and freedom, redemption and forgiveness where it's needed. God, show up again and again and again as the star, as the principal actor. We want to worship you. with fullness of joy, fullness of thought, fullness of body, fullness in relationships. God, you have held nothing back. And so may we hold nothing back as we worship you together. In Jesus' name, amen.